Chapter 103. After this, they both took Mr. Pogrom by the hand, and pressed it to their lips, as a patriotic palm. That homage paid, the mother of the modern Gracchi called for chairs, and the three literary ladies went to work in earnest, to bring poor Pogrom out, and make him show himself in all his brilliant colors. How Pogrom got out of his depth instantly, and how the 350s were never in theirs, is a piece of history not worth recording. Suffice it, that being all four out of their depths, and all unable to swim, they splashed upwards in all directions, and floundered about famously. On the whole, it was considered to have been the severest mental exercise ever heard in the National Hotel. Tears stood in the shrill boy's eyes several times, and the whole company observed that their heads ached with the effort as well they might. When it at last became necessary to release Elijah Pogrom from the corner, and the committee saw him safely back again to the next room, they were fervent in their admiration. "Which," apostrophe said Mr. Buffum, "must have vent, or it will bust. To you, Mr. Pogrom, I am grateful. Towards you, sir, I am inspired with lofty veneration, and with deep emotion. The sentiment to which I would propose to give expression, sir, is this. May you ever be as firm, sir, as your marble statter. May it ever be as great a terror to its enemies as you." Apostrophe, there is some reason to suppose that it was rather terrible to its friends, being a statue of the elevated or goblin school, in which the Honorable Elijah Pogrom was represented as in a very high wind, with his hair all standing on end, and his nostrils blown wide open. But Mr. Pogrom thanked his friend and countryman for the aspiration to which he had given utterance, and the committee, after another solemn shaking of hands, retired to bed, except the doctor, who immediately repaired to the newspaper office, and there wrote a short poem suggested by the events of the evening, beginning with 14 stars, and headed, "A Fragment." Suggested by witnessing the Honorable Elijah Pogrom engaged in a philosophical disputation with three of Columbia's fairest daughters. By Dr. Guiner E. Dunkel. Of Troy. Apostrophe, if Pogrom was as glad to get to bed as Martin was, he must have been well rewarded for his labors. They started off again next day, Martin and Mark previously disposing of their goods to the storekeepers, of whom they had purchased them, for anything they would bring, and were fellow travelers to within a short distance of New York. When Pogrom was about to leave them he grew thoughtful, and after pondering for some time, took Martin aside. "We are going to part, sir," apostrophe said Pogrom. "Pray don't distress yourself," apostrophe said Martin. "We must bear it." Apostrophe, "It ain't that, sir," apostrophe returned Pogrom, "not at all. But I should wish you to accept a copy of my oration." Apostrophe, "Thank you," apostrophe said Martin, "you are very good. I shall be most happy." Apostrophe, "It ain't quite that, sir, neither," apostrophe resumed Pogrom, "are you bold enough to introduce a copy into your country?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Certainly," apostrophe said Martin. "Why not?" Apostrophe, "Its sentiments are strong, sir," apostrophe hinted Pogrom, darkly. "That makes no difference," apostrophe said Martin. "I'll take a dozen if you like." Apostrophe, "No, sir," apostrophe retorted Pogrom. "Not a dozen. That is more than I require. If you are content to run the hazard, sir, here is one for your Lord Chancellor," apostrophe producing it, "and one for your Principal Secretary of State. I should wish them to see it, sir, as expressing what my opinions are, that they may not plead ignorance at a future time. But don't get into danger, sir, on my account." Apostrophe, "There is not the least danger, I assure you," apostrophe said Martin. So he put the pamphlets in his pocket, and they parted. Mr. Bevan had written in his letter that, at a certain time, which fell out happily just then, he would be at a certain hotel in the city, anxiously expecting to see them. To this place they repaired without a moment's delay. they had the satisfaction of finding him within, and of being received by their good friend, with his own warmth and heartiness. I am truly sorry and ashamed, apostrophe said Martin, to have begged of you. But look at us. See what we are, and judge to what we are reduced. Apostrophe, so far from claiming to have done you any service, apostrophe returned the other, I reproach myself with having been, unwittingly, the original cause of your misfortunes. I no more supposed you would go to Eden on such representations as you received, or, indeed, that you would do anything but be dispossessed, by the raddiest means, of your idea that fortunes were so easily made here, than I thought of going to Eden myself. Apostrophe, the fact is, I closed with the thing in a mad and sanguine manner, apostrophe said Martin, and the less said about it the better for me. Mark, here, hadn't a voice in the matter. Apostrophe, well, but he hadn't a voice in any other matter, had he? Apostrophe returned Mr. Bevan, laughing with an air that showed his understanding of Mark and Martin too. Not a very powerful one, I am afraid, apostrophe said Martin with a blush. But live and learn, Mr. Bevan. Nearly die and learn. We learn the quicker. Apostrophe, now, apostrophe said their friend, about your plans. You mean to return home at once? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, I think so, apostrophe returned Martin hastily, for he turned pale at the thought of any other suggestion. That is your opinion too, I hope? Apostrophe, apostrophe, unquestionably. For I don't know why you ever came here, though it's not such an unusual case, I am sorry to say that we need go any farther into that. You don't know that the ship in which you came over with our friend General Fladdock is in port, of course? Apostrophe, apostrophe, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin. Yes. And is advertised to sail tomorrow. Apostrophe, this was tempting news, but tantalizing too, for Martin knew that his getting any employment on board a ship of that class was hopeless. The money in his pocket would not pay one-fourth of the sum he had already borrowed, and if it had been enough for their passage money, he could hardly have resolved to spend it. He explained this to Mr. Bevan, and stated what their project was. Why, that's as wild as Eden every bit, apostrophe returned his friend. You must take your passage like a Christian. At least, as like a Christian as a four-cabin passenger can. And owe me a few more dollars than you intend. If Mark will go down to the ship, and see what passengers there are, and finds that you can go in her without being actually suffocated, my advice is, go. You and I will look about us in the meantime.
We won't call at the Norris's unless you like, and we will all three dine together in the afternoon.
Apostrophe, Martin had nothing to express but gratitude, and so it was arranged. But he went out of the room after Mark, and advised him to take their passage in the Screw, though they lay upon the bare deck, which Mr. Tapley, who needed no entreaty on the subject, readily promised to do. When he and Martin met again, and were alone, he was in high spirits, and evidently had something to communicate, in which he gloried very much. I've done Mr. Bevan, sir, apostrophe said Mark. Done Mr. Bevan. Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Martin. The cook of the Screw went and got married yesterday, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Tapley. Martin looked at him for farther explanation. And when I got on board, and the word was passed that it was me, apostrophe said Mark, the matey comes and asks me whether I'd engage to take this said cook's place upon the passage home. For you're used to it, he says. You were always a cooking for everybody on your passage out. And so I was, apostrophe said Mark, although I never cooked before, I'll take my oath. Apostrophe, what did you say? Apostrophe, apostrophe demanded Martin. Say, apostrophe, apostrophe cried Mark, that I'd take anything I could get. If that's so, says the mate, why, bring a glass of rum, which they brought according. And my wages, sir, apostrophe said Mark in high glee, pays your passage,
And I've put the rolling pin in your berth to take it. It's the easy one up in the corner. And there we are. Rule Britannia, and Britain strike home. Apostrophe, apostrophe, there never was such a good fellow as you are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Martin, seizing him by the hand. But what do you mean by doing, Mr. Bevan, Mark? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, don't you see? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mark. We don't tell him, you know. We take his money, but we don't spend it, and we don't keep it. What we do is, write him a little note, explaining this engagement, and roll it up, and leave it at the bar, to be given to him, after we are gone. Don't you see? Apostrophe, Martin's delight in this idea was not inferior to Mark's. It was all done as he proposed. They passed a cheerful evening, slept at the hotel, left the letter as arranged, and went off to the ship bedrooms next morning, with such light hearts as the weight of their past miseries engendered. Goodbye. 100,000 times goodbye. Apostrophe said Martin to their friend. How shall I remember all your kindness? How shall I ever thank you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, if you ever become a rich man, or a powerful one, apostrophe returned his friend, you shall try to make your government more careful of its subjects, when they roam abroad to live. Tell it what you know of emigration in your own case, and impress upon it how much suffering may be prevented with a little pains. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cheerily, lads, cheerily. Anchor weighed. Ship in full sail. Her sturdy bowsprit pointing true to England. America a cloud upon the sea behind them. Why, Cook, what are you thinking of so steadily? Apostrophe said Martin. Why, I was a-thinking, sir, apostrophe returned Mark, that if I was a painter, and was called upon to paint the American eagle, how should I do it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, paint it, as like an eagle as you could, I suppose. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe said Mark. That wouldn't do for me, sir. I should want to draw it like a bat, for its short-sightedness. Like a bantam, for its bragging. Like a magpie, for its honesty. Like a peacock, for its vanity. Like a ostrich, for its putting its head in the mud, and thinking nobody sees it apostrophe, and like a phoenix, for its power of springing from the ashes of its faults and vices, and soaring up anew into the sky. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin. Well, Mark, let us hope so. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.